कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे गोविंद जय जय पाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय पाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय पाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय हरि बोल हरि बोल बोल हरि हरि बोल हरि बोल बोल हरि बोल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we have to be very clear in our mind. This is the ocean of knowledge, and even one shloka if we discuss is the perfection of human existence. Because this is spoken by the Lord Himself, it's non-different from the Lord. We and our speech are different, but Lord and His speaking is non-different. Because it is very nicely described in Ishopanishad. In the invocation mantra, Vyasa Bhagavan very clearly defines how the Lord is. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachade Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavashishade. He says, Om, Om, all our mantras, all our Vedic mantras and shlokas, they begin from Om. And in the shlokas also, there are so many Oms inbuilt. When we think about Om, we should know that it is Nada Brahma, the sound representation. And the sound representation is non-different from the Lord because He is completely perfect. Om Purnam. Purnam is complete. Purnamida, Purnamada, Purnamidam. This is complete and that is also complete. Everything is completely perfect. And Purnasya Purnamadaya, from complete whole, so many complete units come out. For example, our Earth planet is one complete unit. Here for our life, we want water, we want air, we want food, everything is available here. We don't have to go to the moon to fetch water. This is complete. This unit is complete in itself. And even then, there are so many complete units coming out of the complete whole. And even then the balance is complete. In spiritual realm, 1 plus 1 is also 1. And 1 minus 1 is also 1. There are how many complete units are coming? Millions and billions of planets are moving around. And even then, the balance is complete. This is the nature of Krishna. And because He is completely perfect, Himself and His sound or His speech is completely non-different. As it is, we are not able to associate with Krishna. As it is with our imperfect senses, we cannot see Him. But we very well can experience Him. If you want to have the association of Krishna, then this is the way to associate with Him. You just try to chant few verses from Bhagavad Gita and you are directly associating with Krishna. In India even now, there are families, millions and millions of families who chant daily at least 2 chapters from Bhagavad Gita. 12th chapter is Bhakti Yoga and 15th is Krishna Himself. 12th chapter gives you a nice idea what Krishna says about Bhakti Yoga Himself. And then Krishna Himself describes Himself in 15th chapter. So these 2 chapters are very important. No doubt all 700 verses are very important. And this is how once we understand that this is the association of Krishna, then lovingly we come to Him. I know that in America, the life is very busy. We have to pay so many bills, we have to maintain ourselves, we have to work very hard. But even then, Krishna has given you the opportunity to come to the wealthy country. Somehow or the other, we are much more far better than the people in India, economically. And why he has given us this facility is worth pondering over. Otherwise, he could have left us in India, getting rotten. You know, in Bombay, just to earn bread, they don't know butter. Just bread. And he has to leave the house at 6 o'clock in the morning and comes back about 8 o'clock, at 10 o'clock at night. Just for bare survival. It's our experience. You might have visited, you might be from Bombay or somewhere else, but this is the position in India. And even then, the population as a whole is very religious minded. It doesn't matter what so-called religion they follow. Even the Mohammedans are religious. Even the Christians are religious. We many times tell the Christians that if you want to know how the Christianity is followed, you should go to Indian churches. It doesn't matter what religion they follow, but the basic religiosity is there. And this basic religiosity, if you forget in America, then not only that we are destroying ourselves, but this younger generation, we are killing them. But they don't know nothing about India. And they don't have any religiosity in them, being born in America and brought up in America. It's the duty of the parents to give them this eternal knowledge. Otherwise, we are failing. We are failing in our duty if we don't do it. On one side, we are completely destructing our religious side of our existence, which is much more important than the material bodily existence. And then apart from this, our own spiritual suicide, we are completely killing our younger generation. And if we don't wake up in time, the time is running very fast, and maybe now second generation is quite young now in America also, and the third generation is also peeping out. So we have to wake up timely. In Bhagavatam, it is very nicely said. Understand that verse, you know. It's worth remembering. Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivam na tasyat, patishcha na sasyat, na mochayadiha samupetam rityam. He says, na mochayadiha samupetam rityam. Na means not. Mojayet means deliver. Samupeta mrityam means from the vicious circle of birth and death. Those who are not able to save their own dependents from this vicious circle of birth, death, disease and old age and sickness, they should not be guru. Guru nasasyat. Svajano nasasyat. They should not be relatives. Then pita nasasyat. They should not be father. Then janani na satsyat. They should not be mother also. Not only that, but they should not be pati also, the husband also. This is how once we realize that these things have got to be done, otherwise we don't have to be right to be anybody's father, anybody's mother, or anybody's husband. Then we come to the right understanding. And this is how it is very clear in the scriptures that as we have got these relationships, it becomes our duty to get, first we should deliver ourselves from the vicious circle of birth and death, and then only we will be able to help the younger generation or our dependents to get relieved from the Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. This is the main instruction of the scriptures, and unless we come to this point, the whole existence, human existence, becomes completely useless. Mogam Partha Sajivati. In the pages of Bhagavad Gita, it is very nicely described that evam pravartitam chakram na anuvartayati yaya aga ayu indriya namo mugam partha sajivati. Evam pravartitam chakram, this is the path chalked out by our saints, sages, gurus, shastras, etc. And na anuvartayati, those who don't follow this, na anuvartayati iha, in this life. What happens to those people? Aga ayu. Ayu means their life. Aga means grievous sins. Their life is full of sins. Today we are here, assembled ourselves in the temple. But soon, if you don't do these things, then your life will be sinful. If you didn't come here, you might be watching TV, or you might be wasting your time, or maybe visiting pubs or this or that. Because we are not attracted this side, our life becomes full of sins. And then, Indriya Ramo, you run after the sense gratificatory activities. And then, the result is, Mogam Parthasa Jivadi. You completely uselessly waste your life. This is the main thing to be understood from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. With this, we will go to one verse from Bhagavad Gita. Please repeat after me. It's 5:20, 5th chapter and verse number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na Prahrushet Priyam Papya. Na Udvijayet Prapya. Cha Priyam Sthirabuddhi Asammudau Brahmavid Brahmani Sitaha. Na Prarushet Priyam Prapya.
Na Prarushet Priyam Prapya.
Prarushet Priyam Prapya. Na Udvijet Prapya Cha Priyam. Udvijet Prapya Cha Sirabuddhir Sammudo. Brahma Vitramani Sita. Na. Please repeat. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the signs of God, is already situated in transcendence. The symptoms of the self-realized persons are given herein. I'm sorry, this is purport, you should hear. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is a fragmented portion of the Supreme Personality Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This state of mind is called sthirabuddhi or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the Absolute Truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagwan. He thus knows the constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Om Adhyana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. It is nicely pointed out in the purport by Srila Prabhupada that the identification of body stops us from performing the devotional service with loving heart. Now we had so many, 2-3 families here. It was difficult for us to take mantra out of their mouth. This is identification of our body. We are very lucky that at least we are out of that conditioning that we can lovingly raise our hands or chant Mahamantra very loudly. This is also some achievement in our existence, you know. This identification really creates so many problems in our life. And these problems are continuously same. If you think your whole life, then in the childhood, child, you're here. Hey, how are you? Hey, it's nice to see you. How long you're here? Oh. Then I was pointing out that we have our modes of material nature. And we have our one basic mode. Either we are in mode of ignorance, passion or goodness. And since childhood, we face the same difficulties. Throughout our life, we face the same difficulties. The nature of the problems may differ, but the kind of the problem are same. You know, if you inspect your own life, then you will always experience the same difficulties. And this is because of the identification of the material body. As soon as you cross over this limit of bodily identification, then you are out of the modes of material nature. And then the difficulties may appear before you, but they don't have any stinging effect on our life. That is the main thing we have to understand here. And one thing we fail to understand even now and realize, that our mind many times, because of the identification of the body, it is doubtful that how by seeing the Lord we can progress, or how by remembering Him we can progress. It goes very difficult. But how by touching any paraphernalia of the Lord or Lord's lotus feet, or this, how can we progress? This is a grave doubt in our mind. And because of these doubts, we may come here to the temple sometime, or we may stay even in the temple, but because of these doubts, we are unknowingly and helplessly dragged out to the material rut back. Instead of taking this process with us and following the process very seriously, we are prone to be victimized both by so many unknown attractions in the material world. They may appear to be a religious attraction, but they are not religious attraction. They're a snare of Maya, because Maya always covers herself in a religiosity also. You know, it so happened one day, once we had been to Australia, and there was a devotee there. He had four children, you know, by first marriage. And then again he wanted to marry, he wanted to separate that wife, and again. This lunacy is going on, very rampant in our moment. We are sorry to tell you. But somehow or the other, when the family was large, he wanted to earn money. So his mind suggested him, see, through the religiosity, you know. He said, the mind suggested him that people do these drugs around, you know, drugs. If you can have two rounds, you'll have plenty of money and then you can maintain your family and continue as a pujari. So he thought that only two rounds I'll do and I'll stop. Then he went to India and bought some drugs from Nepal somewhere. Then went to Germany and here and there and sold. So in two rounds he could get good amount. So then mind was again very tricky to explain it to him. So mind suggested him that again two, three rounds and you know, we will have plenty of money. So we buy then a steamer and we will have floating temple and we'll destroy Prabhupada's books. So this was the trick of the mind. Yeah? Then mind knew that what argument will be all right for him. So the fellow thought, yes, I will have a floating temple. I'll be the president of the temple and thousands, millions of books we can sell around the world. So he said, two, three rounds more. And then he started again going and coming back, going to me. Once he saw, he was in India. And you know, money, easy come, easy go. So money was spent nearly, very little amount was left. So he wanted to have a cheap ticket. So he got a cheap ticket of Aeroflot, Russian airline. And then they had to change the planes in Moscow. So he thought, hey, what's wrong? My mridanga and harmonium is full of drugs, nobody will know him. So he went to Moscow. And to his surprise, he had to pass through the customs. And he was caught there and arrested, punished for 6 years imprisonment, labor in our labor. That time he was sent to Siberia, some corner. And he was there in trouble. It's a big story. But the point is, the mind will always give you some material instruction in the guise of religious instruction. And this is how we may be in illusion that I am following a religious path and you are not following the religious path at all. Well, as soon as you leave the cover of Srila Prabhupada, you are completely open to all these troubles. But it is only Srila Prabhupada who gives us a very simple and direct instruction regarding our religious organized life. As soon as you leave his books, as soon as you leave his instructions, or we may leave the institution also, and if you don't follow him very seriously outside, then you are victimized by so many unknown forces. And this is the grave danger we are facing now. Our ISKCON movement is so very large. And now if you don't stick to the explanations given by Srila Prabhupada and the instructions very clearly given for our good, then we are completely lost. And then apart from this, if there is no tangible result, then we may stay here in 10 years in the temple and eventually we think that, oh, this is not up for ours, you know. Because we don't know that by only coming to the temple we are elevated. By staying in the temple we are elevated. We don't have any idea, you know. And there is a nice verse Srila Prabhupada always quotes, you know, that how by darshan only we can be elevated, or how can by remembering the Lord we are elevated. And then two lines, nice, you know. Darshan dhyana sansparshair matsya kurma vihangama swanipatne pushnante swanipatyane tathacham padmaja. Beautiful, these two lines, you know. He says in the first line that darshan dhyana sansparshair kurma matsya vihangamaha. Darshan means by just seeing. Dhyana means by meditating. Darshan, dhyana. Sansparshair, by touching. Matsya, kurma and vihangamaha. The fish, tortoise and birds. Swanyapatyani pushnanti. They hatch their eggs. And they can get their young ones out of the eggs. And the same way, I also help you, Brahma. Krishna himself says this verse. He says, darshan, by darshan, darshan by only seeing, this fish lays eggs. And she just sees the eggs from far. And the eggs are hatched. And she gets the young fishes out in time. Just by darshan. If this is happening in the material world, it is much more finer and much more serious in the spiritual realm. But this is a material thing. The fish only sees the eggs and the young ones come out in time. By seeing, they are hatched. The same way, if you continuously see the Lord, you acquire the qualities of the Lord. These families, they come here, sit for a while, for 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. But as soon as they come to see, their life is completely affected by it. And that's why they may not have time to sit, but at least their piety is there to come to the temple. That is how by only seeing the Lord, we are helped. And then he says, by meditation, dhyana, kurma, tortoise. Tortoise lays eggs on the land and tortoise goes in the water. And he only meditates on the eggs. Only by meditation, the eggs, he gets the young ones. The eggs are hatched. And sansparshay, by touching, the birds, they sit on the eggs and they hatch the eggs. And in time, they get the young ones. This is how these fish, tortoise and birds, there are three ways they get their young ones. One by only seeing, the other one by only meditating, and the third one by touching. This is the example of the material things. So it's much more true in the spiritual matters also. That by only meditating, you can get the same benefit. By only seeing, you can get the benefit. By touching also. Each time you touch Bhagavad Gita, you are completely purified. Forget about reading. You know, there is the famous story that there was one blind man and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing from there and he had the Bhagavad Gita open on his lap and he was crying. So Mahaprabhu went near him. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Oh, how nice Lord has written, you know." So he said, "But you don't see." "Oh, you don't see. You don't see anything. How do you know that it's near?" "No, no, I can feel. I can feel." You know, this is the correct thing. Even if you don't read, even then, there was one man in London, you know, and I remember very clearly that we had been to his house and he was in trouble, you know, he was suffering from diabetes. And it is a funny thing how he suffered from diabetes also. What happened that he married 2-3 times, you know, and the wives left him. And 3 wives sued him together for maintenance. Now this one was working somewhere. And he was getting 100 pounds per week or something. So after deducting all the maintenances, he had to pay 25 pounds to the factory where it was working. So he thought that what's the use of working with him? Salary goes and I have to pay 25 pounds again. So he left the job. And then he started getting the dole money in his social security. So then he knew that if he is suffering from diabetes, he can get a good money, much more increased allowance. So he went to his doctor and he said, "Doctor, I'm suffering from diabetes." So his family doctor said, "No, he checked everything, you know." And he says, "With all due regard, you're not suffering from diabetes." "No, doctor, I'm suffering from diabetes." Because he wanted to have the certificate somewhere or the other to produce the social security. So doctor said, no man, you are not suffering from that." "No, doctor, I am telling you I am suffering." So the doctor was fed up. He said, "All right, you are suffering. So give me medicine," he said, "give me certificate." So doctor wrote the certificate, "Give me medicine." So he went with the certificate to the social security office and he started getting good money. And money was coming and every week he had to take the medicine to the social security office, show the medicine, and then prove that he is really suffering. So then they will continue the money. So this went on for 6 months nearly. His whole cupboard was full of diabetic medicines. So it so happened that slowly he said, "What happened? Let me see." So he started taking tablets and this and that. And really he was suffering by the medicine. Forced medicine. And he was dire in trouble, you know, every day he had to take injection and then immediately prepare the food, eat, again take injection, again prepare food. And he was dire trouble. Then we gave him one volume Srimad Bhagavatam. And we told him, "Hey, please read this Bhagavatam and this is the best medicine for you." And then after 3 months we visited again and he was really much better than what he was suffering, you know. So this is the effect of these the scriptures. We don't have faith. As soon as you have faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, then nothing can stop you. This is, in short, we have to understand. And somehow or the other, we have to organize something wherein we can develop the real love, spontaneous love for God. Now these people, few people were already here. They could have waited for half an hour or so, but they might be staying very far or maybe tomorrow they are going working or this and that. So they might have left. But we should have a spontaneous love for Krishna conscious activities. Otherwise it goes very difficult. And there is a beautiful verse, you know, sung by gopis in 10th canto. You understand, that is Gopi Bhav. Gopi Bhav doesn't mean that we go to Vrindavan and put on saris and hug the trees. No, it's nothing like that. But we have to develop the unflinching faith in the Lord. And continuously, you have to perform the devotional service. That is the meaning of this verse. In this beautiful verse, Atati yat bhavan ahanikananam truti yugayate tvam apashyatam kutila kuntalam shrimukham chate jadav dikshatam Pakshmakrut Drusham. It's beautiful, you know. Gopi said to Krishna, Atati yat bhavan ahanikananam means atati, means you wander. During the day, as soon as the day dawns, you go behind your cows and you all wander everywhere. Atati yad bhavan ahanikananam. During the day, you go in the jungle to graze the cows. And that's why we don't see you. So when we don't see you, what is our condition? They describe very nicely. That truti yugayate tvam pashyatam. Truti. Truti means fraction of a second. As Srila Prabhupada translates six, that you divide second into 1700 parts. And one part is truti. Very small fraction of a second. But we think that it is long like a millennium. Yugayate. Truti yugayate. And why? Tvam apashyatam. Because we don't see you, our small time, fraction of a second, also become long like yuga. And many times we feel these things, you know. If we like somebody, then without him or her, we cannot pass the time. And even a day becomes very long. So this is how gopis say. And then they say that kutila kuntalam srimukham chate. In the evening, when you come back, you have a nice kutila kuntalam, you know, nice curly hair, black hair. And all those black hair, they are covered by dust coming out of the hoofs of the cows. And your face is also a bit dirty, but it appears very nice. And we want to see it continuously. But then they curse Brahma, who has made this body. That Brahma has created eyelids on our eyes. And because of eyelids, we have to blink our eyes. And again, till that time, we don't see you. So this is what Gopi Bhav means. That if you want to create a spontaneous love like gopis, then 24 hours a day, all the time, you have to get engrossed in the scriptures and the temple activities. And then only there will be a spontaneous love. Otherwise, more than half the existence, maybe 99% of our existence, is completely dragged into the material activities. And then maybe 1%, we may come to Krishna hesitatingly, and again they run back to the material life. And this happens because we identify ourselves with the bodies, families, countries, etc. And that is the result, that we lose our human existence, and then don't know really when we are going to get this human existence again. So it's better to utilize it seriously. Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada ki. This body we cannot take with us at the time of death. You know, when we leave the body. And subtle body is always with us. Till we really purify it by our continuous devotional service. So subtle body is more important than the gross body. Your point is very correct. And then unless we purify, and subtle body means mind, intelligence and false ego. Now we have to purify our mind. So Brahma has shown us the way. Brahma, our creator, you know. And he shows in Brahma Sanhita nice way how to purify the subtle existence of the mind. And see, the process is like this. Brahmanaihi tat sadajaraihi tat abhyasaihi nirantaram bodhayan atmana atmanam bhaktim api uttamam labet. He says, bhaktim api uttamam labet is our destination. That we have to attain the pure love of God, devotional activities. We must like devotional activities. Otherwise you will not follow the devotional activities. Now this is our aim of our existence. Then how to attain it? Pramanahi is the first instruction by Brahma. Pramanahi means there must be scriptural evidence. And therein, Prabhupada very lovingly gives us these scriptural evidences. If you go through Bhagavad Gita very seriously, or any small book, or Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Upanishads, so Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, so many books are there. Any one book you study and you find out the evidences. And then he says, Sad Acharahi, then you have to put into practice. This is the main thing. Once you do this, that is also not enough. Pramanahi tad sadacharahi tad abhyasahi nirantaram. Again and again, again and again, you have to habituate yourself to practice the instructions. Then question comes before us that we have to perform the material activities also. So our mind is dragged back from the spontaneous devotional activities or studies to the material responsibilities. Then he has shown the way that you should organize your material life in such a way that you will always remember the Lord. And it is everybody's question, because we are all differently situated in our material situations. But one thing we have to understand, that whichever situations we are in, somebody is engineer, somebody is doctor, somebody is businessman, somebody work laborer, or whoever they may be, or maybe a housewife or something else, doesn't matter at all. For everybody, the devotional activities are common. That shows that devotional activity doesn't depend upon any condition, that you must be like this and then only you can perform the devotional service. No, you can see in India, there are thousands and thousands of families. They perform all different types of activities. But everybody crowds in the temple. There is no condition for the devotional service. And this we forget. And that's why it's difficult for us, very, very difficult to come to the devotional side of our existence. If you can understand this point, then abhyasai nirantara, through your activities, you can be elevated. Suppose you are looking after the children. You look after them as if they are the form of Krishna. They are. They are young Krishnas, you know. So you are doing something for Krishna. That is your devotion. And through them also, you can be elevated. Or you may be engineer, you may be doctor. If you are a doctor, you are serving your patients. Take them that they are the forms of Krishna and they are there. Don't cheat. Try to take care of them very nicely. That is through your doctor's service, you can be elevated. You may be a laborer working for building something. Then you do your activities very nicely and you will be elevated. The people know very well that if the man is a godly man or a woman is a godly woman, then they can depend upon them. These ordinary people also know that, oh, we can depend upon him. He is very careful regarding his job. And this is the secret of our devotional success. We don't ignore our material activities, but we become expert in material activities. And that is an art. Krishna helps us to become expert in our material responsibilities. And then what happens? That within no time, we expertly arrange our material life. And then we are completely free for the devotional activities. Krishna is very merciful. When he sees that you are sincere for the devotional service, he will give you time and Lakshmi and everything, and nice work and everything, because people will trust you. But everybody wants their work to be done. And those who do the work, they know that the godly persons are very serious. They're not attracted to this or that. And this is how our work also, our material responsibilities also, become helpful to us to increase the devotional activities. It's only through ignorance somebody may believe that material activities are impediment, and they may completely stop and come to the devotional activity. And then we have so many examples that they are not successful in the devotional activities also. We are in the temples also, we are seeing all over America and all over the world. Those who are working outside, they are very serious devotees. But they know that their material things that they have to arrange, they are not neglecting their responsibilities, and at the same time, they are doing their devotional activities also. And this is how Brahma then in the second line says, then even these three things are not enough. That is scriptural evidence, then pramanahita sadacharai, put into practice, and abhyasai, practice again and again. Then what happens? That again your mind will be victimized by the attractions. Then what is to be done? Brahma gives very nice instruction. And he says, pramanahita sadacharai, tad abhyasai nirantaram, bodhayan. Then you instruct your mind. How? Atmana, by your intelligence. Atmanam, to your own self. You always continuously instruct your mind and force your mind not to go anywhere and come to these activities. And this activity has to go on satatam always, and then you will be successful. And then you get to near controlling the mind. But it is a continuous process. It's very continuous process. As soon as neglect, then mind has its own nature. So Bodhayan, completely, we have to instruct it and regulate our life in whichever way we can regulate. And then it will definitely help you. Just coming to Katha and coming to these classes is the best thing. This is the best thing, to hear more about Krishna. And don't look who is speaking or what is he speaking. Anybody comes here, we read from Prabhupada's books. So at least those sound vibrations are very pure. Instead of wasting our life in other sound vibrations, we should keep tapes or reading or this or that. So many things are available and so many advancements are also with us. We have VCR, we have TVs, you utilize it for videos, Ramayana, Mahabharata, or Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Now this is what we should do. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Jai. All clear.
Yashoda Nandana
Janaranjan Jayara Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram Ram Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, bol Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol, bol Hari bol, Jai Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada. Narayana Swam Nahi Sarvadehinam
Narayana Swam Nahi Sarvadehinam
Atma Siddhisha Khila Loka Sakshi
Atma Siddhisha Khila Loka Sakshi
Narayanangam Narabhujalayanat
Narayanatam Narabhujalayanat
Tachapi Satyam Natavaiva Maya
Tachapi Satyam Natavaiva Maya
Narayanastvam Nahi Sarvadehinam
Narayanastvam Nahi Sarvadehinam
Atma Siyadisha Khila Loka Sakshi
Atma Siyadisha Khila Loka Sakshi
Narayanoyam Narayanangam Narabhujalayanat
Narayanangam Narabhujalayanat
Tachapi Satyam Natavaiva Maya Good Narayan Tvam You Na Not He Veda Sarva Of all Dehinam Embodied Living Entities Atma, the super soul, Asi, you are, Adhisha, O supreme controller, Akhila, of all, Loka, planets, Sakshi, the witness, Narayana, Lord Sri Narayan, Angam, the expanded planet portion, Nara, from the Supreme Personality. Bhu, originating. Jala, of the water. Ayanat, because of being the manifesting source. Tat, that expansion. Cha, and. Api, indeed. Satyam, true. Na, not. Tava, you are. Eva, at all, Maya, illusory energy. Translation, by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki, please repeat. Are you not the original Narayan? O Supreme Controller, since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realms, indeed, Lord Narayan, He's your expansion. And he is called Narayan because he is the generating source of the primordial water of the universe. He is real, not a product of your illusory Maya. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, no, I am sorry, purport, please hear. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 2, text 30, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. This statement was spoken by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Lord Krishna after the Lord defeated him by displaying his mystic powers. Brahma had tried to test Lord Krishna to see if he was really the Supreme Personality of Godhead playing as a covered boy. Brahma stole all the other boys and their cows from the pasturing grounds. But when he returned to the pastures, he saw that all the boys and cows were still there, for Lord Krishna had created them all again. When Brahma saw this mystic power of Lord Krishna, he admitted defeat and offered prayers to Lord, addressing him as the proprietor and seer of everything in the creation, as the super soul who is within each and every living entity and is dear to all. Lord Krishna is Narayan, the father of Brahma, because Lord Krishna's splendid expansion, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, after placing himself on the Garbha ocean, created Brahma from his own body. Mahavishnu in the casual ocean and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the super soul, is in everyone's heart, are also transitory expansions of the Supreme Truth. In his commentary on this verse, Sri Sanatana Goswami has elaborately explained the expansion of Vishnu or Narayan, incarnations from the original form of Godhead. Lord Krishna, the essence is that, although Lord Brahma was born from Lord Narayan, Brahma now understands that Narayan is himself a mere expansion of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Om Adhyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This, when we consider about the 10th canto, we have to be very careful as we saw yesterday. The supremacy of Krishna has to be established before we come to this chapter. And we begin the knowledge of the supremacy from Brahma's prayers. There is the first verse in Brahma Sita. It's a famous verse. Do you know? That verse. Ishwara. Sarvakaranikarana. Ishwara Prathamaha Krishna. First controller, that is the supreme controller, is Krishna, and then his vigraha is given. His body is not known as sharira, body, but it is known as vigraha because it comprises of the three eternal things, sat, chit and anand. Sat means eternal, chit means knowledgeable, and ananda means bliss. Now it's very well, it could be understood by the example, you know. Now suppose, Grigordan, you are in this building always. So eternally you are here. So that's why you know all the rooms and things, everything in the building. That's why you have knowledge, you know? Because you are always here, so you have the knowledge about the building. And because you are always here and you know everything, that's why you are happy. We have come since last 2 days. Just you have shown us our room and how to come to the temple. That's all we know. Because we are not here eternally. We are not always here. So we don't have knowledge. And because we are not all here, always here, and we don't have knowledge, means we don't have happiness. Because we don't know the whole building. We don't know where you have kept what. And we don't know where the restaurant is, how to go to the canal, how to go to the grounds, where is the Gurukul situated. Don't have any idea at all. So because we don't have any ideas, we are locked up. We are shown as a room, we are just sitting in like a police cell. And that's why we are not happy. The same thing happens regarding Krishna. His is the whole creation. His energies are full, completely perfect. And because of his energies, he is always present in his creation. And because he is always present, so he knows, he has the knowledge. As you are already always in this building, and you have knowledge, the same way Krishna is always in his building. And his building is material manifestation and the spiritual manifestation. And everywhere he is all pervading. And that's why he is correctly known as Vasudeva. In Vasudeva world, there is a verb in Sanskrit, is known as vas. Vas means to stay. And to stay everywhere is known as Vasudeva. That's why one of his main characteristics that he is all pervading. Mattaha parataram na anyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Apart from me, nothing exists. And in 7th chapter in Bhagavad Gita, he gives us the clear idea of his energies which are non-stop working in this material manifestation as well as in the spiritual realm. What are those verses? 4 and 5, 7th chapter, 4th verse and 5th verse. Do you remember? No, start chanting 7th chapter. That's no. Yad nyatvani bhuyan yad nyatavyam avashishyate. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam jinmam veti tatvata. This one. So it's fourth. Come on. And fifth one. Now these are the two verses we are referring. And in these two verses, he has given, in the first verse, the fourth verse, he has given his eight energies. Five are gross and three are subtle. This is the basic knowledge. And that's why Bhagavad Gita is regarded as the ABC of the spiritual knowledge. This is the basic knowledge. You know. In the fourth verse, Krishna is clear to give us the eight material energies. And out of eight material energies, he is very clear to tell us that five are gross, which we can see. And three are subtle, which we cannot see, but we experience them. And if you remember this, then you remember the whole material manifestation. Particularly the scientists, they don't have any idea about the transcendental nature of the Lord. So they only grapple with these eight energies. And they are lost then, because without going to the root of the existence, they cannot find out any cause. And they think that the material things, the material elements are the cause, whereas material elements are not the cause. For example, our body is made of five great elements, which are described in Bhumi, Rapo, Nalo, Vayu, Kham. These are the five. Bhumi means land. Then Apa means water. Anala means fire. Bhumi, Apa, Anala is fire. Then Vayu, air. And Kham is the Akash, that is sky. These are the five great elements. And these five great elements we can see. But when we pass away from this body, the body of these material elements has got to be left here. We cannot take these five elements with us. But apart from these five great elements, we have three subtle elements. That is mind, intelligence, and ego, false ego. These are, no doubt, it is material. Even mind is material, intelligence is material, and false ego is also material. But they are subtle, sukshma. There are two bodies we have. One is the gross body, which we see, and it comprises of five elements. Which are those five elements? Mataji, you heard. Which are the five elements? Air, yes. Fire. Water, that's all. This way, three. Land. Four. And sky. Ether. These are the five elements. But these five elements, however hard we try, we cannot take with us. And that's why all material things, they don't belong to us. That is the secret of understanding this. Because everything is these five elements. This desk has also land, water, fire, air, and ether. This book also the same thing. Karta also the same thing. This board is also. These are the different names. But in the end, these are the basic elements. The house is also. It has a land, gross land. Then it has water. It has fire, it has air, and it has ether. All, every material thing you take, and they are comprising of these five great elements. And these five great elements, however hard we try, after death we cannot take it. Because these five elements don't belong to us. They are Krishna's energy. And if the Krishna's energy is there, how can we pinch his energy? He cannot. He will not allow us to take all these things. And this is the secret of our spiritual quest. Why we are after these things? That we have to ask. And this is the answer. But why? Why we are searching which is not material, which is something anti-material? Are we mad to search of something which doesn't belong to the material manifestation? And there is no craziness. There is no madness. We are very correct. According to the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and according to the energies which are Krishna has described, that these are my separated energies, five great elements and three subtle elements. You repeat, Giri Govardhan, five great elements. And it has a sequence. You have to remember in a sequence. And the sequence is given in this verse. So this verse has got to be learned. Bhumi, Apo, Anala, Vayu, Air, Ether. That's right. This is the sequence. It should be remembered in a sequence. Then the secret is that when we think about these five great elements, then these are the gross elements we can see. I can see the land, I can see the water, I can see fire, I can feel air, then I can see ether. These are the gross elements. And each gross element has a subtle existence. Without the subtle existence, the gross element cannot manifest. For example, you start from sky, you know, ether. Ether is the gross manifestation of a subtle quality which is known as sound. In Sanskrit, it is known as shabda. Without sound, the ether cannot exist. Now, we are speaking here. We are creating the ether. As soon as the sound is there, the ether is created. And when Krishna's sound is there, it is known as Nada Brahma. And because of Nada Brahma, the whole space is created. The creation, the root cause of the space is sound. Then we come from sky, you know. When the sky is created, when the space is created, then the Lord has a glance. He sees the sky. And when He sees the sky, then in the sky there is agitation. And because of that agitation, the air is created. And because the air is created from the sky, because of the glance of the Lord, the air cannot go out of the sky. It has to be in the sky. Because sky is the father and air is the son or daughter, whatever it is called. So they cannot go beyond that. Because it is created from the ether. Air cannot decide that I don't want to be in ether either. I will go somewhere else. No, it cannot do it. And that is how once the sky is created, and we know the quality of the sky is sound, so because air is created from the sky, it inherits its quality, sound, and air has a sound. You know, when wind blows, we can hear. And then again, air has its own quality, and that is touch. It touches. It touches our body, and we feel that there is air. It touches all the objects in the material manifestation. The touch is the sensation of the air. And you may know that underneath our skin there is a fresh air. And because of that fresh air, we can touch, we feel, you know. Even if I don't see at the back, but if anybody touches my back, I immediately know that somebody is touching. This is the play of air in our body. If there would not have been air, we will not feel the touch. And if there is anything wrong in our body or in some limb of our body, then we cannot feel the touch because the air is disturbed. And this is how our existence, our touching sensation, our sound, are everything coming from Krishna. It is the energy of Krishna. That is a secret to be understood. And as soon as we understood this point, then the supremacy of Krishna is firmly established in our mind. This is the point to be understood. As soon as you understand that the ether is His energy, and ether has again the subtle quality, sound, and you know that the air is created from the ether by the glance of the Lord, so He is the cause of creation. Sarva karana karanam. Then you have unflinching faith in Him. And that's why Srila Prabhupada has given us this process, that by regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam classes, your bhakti, your devotional service becomes firm. This is the reason to understand these things. And the more you study these things, the more your devotional service becomes unflinching. The more and more and more you get into it, then without devotional service, there is nothing you can realize. And because we people realize that without the devotional service of the Lord, we cannot survive for a single second, that is why our devotional service becomes continued, unbroken. And because we know that the devotional service is the main thing and nothing is of any value apart from the devotional service, that's why our devotional service is spontaneous, doesn't have any motive behind it. These points have got to be imbibed. And these points could not be understood, could not be understood unless repeatedly you hear, you hear, you hear. And that's why hearing, Shrotra, is very important. Don't get tired of hearing, and then you get the points eventually. Frankly speaking, this knowledge we already have. but it is covered by the illusory energy of the Lord. And those layers have got to be removed. And if you want to remove those layers of the illusory energy, then you manifest in your own original knowledgeable form. And then you can understand the intricacies of the creation and what is beyond creation. And if you can realize the intricacies of the creation and beyond creation, then the immediate effect is that you know that you cannot do anything and it is being done, everything is being done for you. And if everything is being done for us, then we don't have any duty to do. We don't have anything to do. So if you don't have anything to do, then what is to be done is also realized. Because you don't have to do anything materially. You don't have to do anything at all. And that is how the first class transcendentalists, they don't do anything except chanting or reading or understanding or serving Krishna or in the different form of devotional activities. They don't do anything. And everything is being provided to them. Those who are ignorant, they have to work hard like the donkeys. This is the result of our toiling and moiling. That is the result. And as soon as you come to this knowledge, then you know that the Krishna's energies are in a gross form and the subtle form. They are working for us. The ether is working for us. The air is created from the ether, as we have seen. And because the air is created from the ether, it has inherited the ether's quality, and again there is a quality of air, that is touch, as we have seen. So we saw two qualities, word, that is shabda, sound, and touch, that is touching, sparsh. It is known in Sanskrit as sparsh. Then from sky, from ether and air, the third element is created by the agitation of these both elements by the glands of the Lord. So Lord is the main reason. Sarva karana karanam. This is the meaning of sarva karana karanam. Sarva means of all, karana means cause, and karanam means all causes. Lord is the supreme karana, supreme reason of creation. And as soon as, because of his glands, from air and ether, the fire is created. And because the fire is created from air and ether, so it should inherit two qualities. Which are those qualities? Sound and touch. Very good. Yeah, you are awake. Hey, Gregor, don't teach. So, he knows now. There are two qualities in fire. And you know there is a sound in fire. Suppose this table burns, it makes a sound. This building burns, it makes a sound. So there is a sound in fire. And you know this fire can touch us. Do you know the touch of fire? Yes. So it touches. And then it has its own quality again, third quality. Fire has its own quality. And that is rupa, that is form. Suppose if this table burns, it takes the form of the table. If this table desk burns, it takes the form of the desk. If this assassin burns, it has different form again. This is known as rupa. And we also have forms. Suppose if I burn, it will take the form of my body. Suppose if a house burns, it will take the form of the house. So it has a form. Always the burning has a form. So this is the third quality. That is sound, touch, and form. These are the three qualities in fire. Then we come to the fourth element. What is it? No, sky. From sky the air was created. Then from ether and air, fire was created. And now we have three elements. That is ether, air, and fire. So what is created from this? Yeah. You are Acharya. Giri Gurdhan Acharya. You know. And now water is created. And again for the creation of water, There should be a glove, Lord's glance. By only seeing, the Lord creates. His eyes can do any job. By seeing, he can eat. By eyes, he can walk. We can't do anything. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti. We sing in the morning. Angani means all his limbs. Yasya he, whose? Angani yasya sakala indriya, all senses. Any limb can do work as anything. By hand he can hear. We can't hear. By hand he can walk. By hand he can eat. Any limb works. Our hand cannot eat. Our hand has got to take prasadam and put it into the mouth. It cannot, however hard you try, the hand cannot chew. But his hand can chew and finish off the prasadam. This is how any limb can work. Now with this same, because of his glance, then the water is created from these three elements. So because the water is created from these three elements, so it inherits three qualities. What are those?
Touch.
No, first one. No, it has got to be in sequence.
Sound, touch,
and form. This is. And then water has its own quality. What is that quality? Rasa. Very good. Taste. It is not a taste. The water. I am the taste in water. Rasvam of Sukamdeya. He says in. So as soon as water, we remember water, means we remember these four qualities. That is sound, touch, form, and taste. And in Sanskrit, they are beautiful words. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Ras. And then all these four combined together with the glance of the Lord produce the earth, which is the full cross. You know, it's a lump, cross lump of the earth. We can see very well. And then because the earth is created last, so it has four qualities already. That is Sabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Ras. And earth has its own quality, and that is smell. Fragrance of the earth. He is again Krishna, he says. Punya Ganda Prithivyam Cha. And earth has a fragrance, that's why Tulsi takes that fragrance which is required for Tulsi, and it smells like Tulsi. Because this Ganda, this smell, is already present in the earth. Here the flowers don't smell really. Some or the other, this earth lacks that. But in India still, so far, I don't know how long, but they do smell at the moment. There is fragrance. And this fragrance is exhibited in different forms. Suppose there is a mango tree, it will have a mango fragrance. If it is a banana tree, it will have a banana fragrance. If it is a grape plant, then it is a grape juice fragrance. And this is how these different fragrance, they come out of the earth. This is the main quality of the earth. And that is why this is a very important thing. And then as soon as we come to these five things, there is sound, touch, then form, taste, and smell. If you think very seriously about these five things, they are our sense objects. We enjoy the sound. Newly married couple, they enjoy each other's sound, in the beginning at least. Afterwards, what happens? they think that, oh, you keep on talking, I like your hearing. And then when she talks, they kishan, now we don't talk. So for a while we enjoy the sound. We enjoy the sound of the bhajans or this or that. Ordinary people enjoy the sound of the rock music or something. These are all sounds. This is enjoyment, our enjoyment. Our ear is supplied by Krishna. The object of the ear is also supplied by Krishna. Then touch, we experience. No, I am sitting on a cushion. So I am experiencing very happiness. Because touch, touching sensation. This is how, if you touch the hardwood, then we don't like. If you touch the cold iron, we don't like. If we touch the warm heater, we like. This is how all our enjoyment is surrounded around sound and touch and roop and the form. This form is beautiful. Tulsi we like. The form of Krishna we like. The form of beautiful women we like. The form of beautiful man we like. This is how we enjoy the forms. And that's why the advertisers, they know this secret. So they always put some woman, you know, beside their product. So instead of seeing their product, we are attracted to woman. And as soon as you see woman, then you drink this, you know. This is how you smoke this. That is how this Marlboro cigarette yesterday I saw. It's a beautiful man, you know, old man. We were driving from the airport or something. Have you seen that? Eh? Do you remember that form? We like to look at. And he speaks, smoking, and underneath there is a Marlboro. So this, this is how. We put Krishna's picture and we put Mahamantra so that they see the picture, like it, and they chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So ours is a transcendental activity. We present the form also transcendental. We put Krishna's picture, which is completely transcendental. And if they speak Mahamantra, it is also transcendental. So our things don't belong to these energies of the Lord. Nothing at all. Ours is completely beyond this. And because it is beyond this, it is correctly known as transcendental. Transcend. They transcend. For example, if you are driving on the road, then you are controlled by the laws of the road, that you have to keep to the right, then you have to go in one way, a street or something, one direction only. And if you break the law, either you will have accident, or if you are caught, you will be punished. Or you cannot pass the red light, this is the law of the road. But have you seen any time the helicopter standing at the red light? No, because it transcends. And because it transcends, it is not affected by the road laws. So this knowledge also, Krishna's picture and Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it doesn't belong to this world. And that's why it doesn't have any effect of this world. As soon as you chant Krishna's names, as soon as you see Krishna's form, as soon as you hear his sound, as soon as you come to the representation of Krishna in the form of Bhagavatam, as soon as you come to Krishna himself through the Bhagavad Gita, then all these are transcendental. And because they are transcendental, we feel very happy, because material existence is completely full of miseries. And this is how we escape from the miseries. This is the secret of escaping the miseries. And once you realize this, then you always escape. And when you always escape, you always come to Bhagavad Gita. You always come to Bhagavatam. And you cannot avoid it, because you know that this is a nice escape. And if you come here, then you are completely liberated. This is a secret liberation. That we are liberated from the material miseries. Because we have full knowledge. A full knowledge of the energies of Krishna. And as soon as you go, you pass over these gross elements, then you come to the subtle elements. That also we have full idea. And that's why we don't run after the psychiatrics. This is a secret. Because we know how mind is working and how mind is material. We know how intelligence is coming from Krishna. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smritirnya napamohanancha. He says, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. I am situated in everybody's heart. And mattah smriti, from me the remembrance, jnana, knowledge, and apohan, forgetfulness, comes. And because we know these things, never the Krishna Bhakta, the devotee of the Lord, will approach the psychiatric. Because he knows that if we have to maneuver with these three things, material intelligence and material intellect, then the human being who is imperfect cannot do anything about these things. It's simply misguiding principle. If you want to correct your mind and if you want to correct your intelligence, you have to come to God. You have to come to Krishna. But it is His energy and He can control it. He is the supreme controller, that's why. He controls His energies. And if at all there is a mental derangement or some madness or something like that, we never go anywhere to stuff our body with the drugs or injections or run to the psychiatric treatments or psychiatric hospitals. And that is how these are the nonsensical things created by the ignorant civilization. And once we understand this point, who will leave this Bhagavatam for a single second? Tell me. Is there any reason? That's why this is the medicine. Bhavavshati Shrotra Manoviramat. As soon as there is some difficulty in mana, there is some difficulty in mind, then this is the way to come to it. And if you don't come to it, then you suffer. You come to it, then you don't suffer. So those who come to this point, and we are indebted to Prabhupada, that's why eternally. It is He who has opened our, forced open our eyes. That foolish, why, what are you doing? The real thing is this. And you are living this thing and running around. Then who can help us? If you ignore the important medicine you have, if you ignore, then you are bound to be mad. You are bound to run here and there, spend money and become fool, great fool. This is the main teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please come to this and try to understand, and may Lord bless us and Prabhupada be merciful so that we can understand Him through the pages of Bhagavatam and don't ignore these things. Hare Krishna. Is it clear? The points are... Yes, ma'am. They are spiritual. We have made them material. Because they are the energies of Krishna. And energy of Krishna cannot be material. Yeah, we are only seeing that. Because we have, suppose we are putting green glasses, you know, sunglasses. Then the sunshine is white, but we look at green. It's not that the sunshine is green, but yes, you have the glasses. You remove the glasses and you see the sun as it is. Yeah, but it is spiritual. There is a land. It is spiritual. There are fruits, they are spiritual. But we are grappling with the illusory energy. And that's why it's, for us, it is completely troublesome and miserable and everything. For them, everything is enjoyable. So it is the matter of changing the consciousness. From material consciousness, you have to follow the Krishna consciousness. That is what we are here for. And this knowledge, as soon as you have got as soon as, then who can stop you from being blissful? It's very clear. Is it any difficult to understand this point? It's only the root is Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. What is the difficulty? And even then, the ordinary people, they cannot sit here for few moments. They cannot hear this knowledge. They cannot realize anything. They don't have time to realize. They think that they are doing very important work, much more important than this. And nothing is more important. It's very nice to see you, few souls, try to be sincere, understanding this. Everything is with you. Just turn the pages and try to understand again and again. Evam satisham satat yuktanam vajitam priti purvakam. Those who are satat yukta. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Intellect is not which is restricted. It's unlimited flow of intellect comes, provided you engage in this always. So don't worry about the understanding. You will definitely understand. But repeat, 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 repeat. And it will get into your thick brain. Hare Krishna. Jai Krishna Prabhupada ki.